a Lutheran minister dies. I don't know why it's a Lutheran minister. Anyway, the story goes. And is waiting in line at the pearly gates. Ahead of him is a guy who's dressed in sunglasses, a loud shirt, and a leather jacket and jeans. Saint Peter addresses this cool guy. "Who are you? So that I may know whether or not to admit you to the kingdom of heaven." The guy replies, "I'm Bruce, retired airline pilot from Toronto." Saint Peter consults his list. He smiles and says to the pilot, "Take this silken robe and golden staff and enter the kingdom." The pilot goes into heaven with his robe and staff. Next, it's the pastor's turn. He stands erect and booms out, "I am Reverend John, pastor of St. Paul's for the last 43 years. St. Peter consults his list and he says to the pastor, "Take this cotton robe and wooden staff and enter the kingdom." "Just a minute," says the good reverend. "That man was a pilot and he gets a silken robe and golden staff and I get only cotton and wood. How can this be?" "Up here," says St. Peter, "we go by results. When you preached, people slept. When he flew, people prayed." Folks, please do not jeopardize my entry into heaven by falling asleep while I preach. We've been studying the prayers of Jesus that he said and practiced, and today is number 2. You know, I studied all the prayers Jesus said in the scriptures, and one thing I noticed is this. They are very succinct. Most of the prayers, if you say them in English, may take less than a minute or two to complete the whole thing. Except one prayer in John 17, it took me about 4 minutes to read through at normal speed. But besides that one, almost all of them you could finish within a minute or two. And one thing I like about Jesus' prayers is this. There are no repeats and no fancy words either. Just to the point and short and sweet, as we say. And that's the lesson you and I could learn from his prayers. Make our prayers simple and to the point. Did you know that the prayers we say actually are pointed to the Heavenly Father, not to the people, to impress them with our big words and beautiful words? And once in a while, as pastor, I repent of my tendency, folks, to say prayers to please people rather than God. And my humble prayers for myself and for all of us is this. The Lord help us to say simple and sincere prayers from our hearts more often, if not all the time. So this morning, let us consider the one of Jesus' prayers printed in the bulletin. That's in Matthew 11. The ones that Regina read this morning is the whole content of his prayers. Here I notice that his prayer is very personal, if you know what I mean. I feel that he is speaking from his heart to the heart of his heavenly Father. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to point out 3 things that stand out in today's text with a hope and prayer that we too imitate our Lord Jesus in our prayers. What are the 3 points I'm going to make? Number 1, his prayer was relational. Number 2, personal. And number 3, grateful, full of gratitude. Number 1, his prayer was relational. Folks, if I repeat one word in my sermon over and over again, several times in a row, let's say, pray, 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 and you would get the message right away. Oh, Pastor Choi wants us or urge all of us to pray without ceasing. Now, likewise, in today's passage, if you read today's passage one more time, you will notice what I have noticed, that in just 3 verses, Jesus repeats one word 5 times. He calls God in heaven Father or our my Father for 5 times. Not only that, he calls himself Son 3 times as well. So what I see here in today's text, Father and Son relationship. To me, that's the heart of prayer. Heart of prayer is relationship with our Heavenly Father. Father-child relationship. If someone asks you, why do you pray? We say, well, you know, I need something, you know, God do something for me. That's most of us, you know, think what prayer is. No, prayer is relationship. Why do we pray? Because we are in relationship with God. God is our Father and we are His children. Like father and children talk to each other. Now, please notice here in today's text, the word Father comes before the phrase Lord of heaven and earth. If you look at the bulletin, verse 25, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, although Father and Lord, those two words both refer to the same God, Jesus acknowledges those two words in the particular order of Father and Lord, not the other way around. It was not an accident. It was not just coincidence. We too, in our prayers, acknowledge God in two ways. We call God sometimes Father. We call God our Lord. Now, God, we acknowledge God in heaven as our loving Father, and we are His loving children, and you are His daughter, and you are His son. So am I. We also acknowledge God as the Lord of all who created heavens and the earth and everything in it. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our Lord. Now imagine a daughter calling her father who happens to be the ruler of the kingdom. She might call her father, Your Majesty, in front of the subjects, in front of everybody else. But in private, wouldn't you expect her to call her father, Daddy or some sort? More, you know, just intimate term. But if she still calls him Your Majesty all the time, whether in public or in private, you begin to wonder what kind of relationship she has with her father, whether it's healthy or not. Now, I'm turning to you and think of your own words that you say in your own prayers. How do you address God in your prayers? Let me tell you how I used to. I didn't analyze my prayer until I prepared this sermon. I realized that this is what I do between the two words, you know, Father and the Lord. I always called God Lord first. In fact, all the time in my prayer, I called Him Lord. Seldom I called Him Father, because I realized, unlike Jesus, I was not accustomed to call God Abba Father in a very affectionate term. I realized that it is time that I started calling God Abba Father, or Daddy in that matter. After all, that's how Jesus instructs us to call God, as we say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, isn't it? And furthermore, I believe that it is time that I started putting them in the right order too. Father first and Lord second. Now, I checked with my wife. She says, I always call God Father all the time. And there are some folks very comfortable calling God Father too. That's fine. That's wonderful, isn't it? But those folks also need to remember that God is also the Lord of heaven and earth. The bottom line is this. There should be a good balance between those two words, Father and the Lord. Even Jesus practiced himself in his own prayer, I praise you, Father and the Lord of heaven. Father and Lord, intimacy and reverence. Both in that order will keep our prayers healthy and in balance. The first point was Jesus' prayer was relational. The second point I'm making is this. His prayer was personal. He knew the Lord in first person basis. Now, what's the strong foundation, if I ask? In a healthy relationship, what word comes to you? Love, respect, all those words, right? I would call intimacy. May I say that intimacy begins with personal relationship? In other words, you and I cannot build a healthy relationship with a complete stranger. We need time to get to know each other, then we become a little bit more intimate, and then relationship develops, right? For a deeper level. For instance, you and I could study all the different names and attributes of God for years, and let's say we can even recite them all. This morning I read something and it says, you know, there are 30 different names to God alone in the Bible. Wow, we could recite them all, yet we still could know nothing of God. There is a fine difference, you know this, know about somebody or know of somebody. Okay? We could know everything about God, yet we never experienced God, know of God. Here, in today's text, Jesus calls God on a, quote, first name basis, so to speak. He calls God the Father, you or thou, not he. You see, I was born and raised and grown up in the Korean culture. I realized that Korean language is hierarchical. It's a top down, coming down. And so it's culture. So for instance, the relationship between husband and wife was seldom, as far as I know, equal or horizontal. Living in America in the past 31 years though, my wife and I are become very much Americanized. So guess what? When we argue, when we, you know, do have the shouting match, you thought Pastor Cho is perfect, right? Oh, everything go no. We do have shouting match once in a while. And guess what language we use? She never uses Korean, hello. We use English. Why? Because English, the horizontal and equality relationship is built in. Why? We use the word you, right? Whether you're just dealing with an old man or just a young person, you always say the you, everybody. In Korean language, however, you have to change the tone of the verb that you choose. Three different levels. If you're talking to your senior, you have to use a little more respectful language. If you're talking to, you know, the peers, this is another level. And if you're talking to the person or child, and then you just change the word too. So three tiers in Korean language. But in English, everybody's you. And bless the English language. Well, let me tell you this. Let me read to you one more time, verse 25, in King James Version. You can follow along in the bulletin. That's a little different. At that time, Jesus answered and said to God, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And it goes on. The key word is thee and thou. And that word reminds me of another example. You know, there was a certain group called Quakers. Quakers in the 21st century is not Christian. I have to tell you this. Why? Because Quakers is just so much jumbled with Eastern philosophy and all other religions and practices and whatnot, it is no longer considered Christianity. However, back in 18th century and 19th century, in America, Quakers were Christian, part of the Christianity. Okay? You know what they did? If you studied history, they called each other, I don't know if they still do or not, but in the 19th century, they called each other, male and female, thou. I don't think they were just archaic English-loving folks, you know. Let's use the thou all the time. I don't think so. The background of using the word thou is that to show respect to each other, being equal to each other. Did you know that they addressed the same way even to the runaway slaves? Did you know that? Funny story in history, Quakers used to help the Underground Railroad. You know that, right? So the slave traders, and they're going after these runaway slaves and knock at the door, and you're the Quaker, and are you hiding any slaves here? And they, even though they do, guess what they said? Nope. Christians are not supposed to say the lie, right? So if you ask them, the slave traders go away, and if you ask them, why did you lie? You're actually hiding the slaves. And they say, nope, I'm not hiding slaves, I'm hiding friends. You see? They never consider these black folks, you know, like slaves or even, you know, as property or subhuman. They always treated them equal. And I really respected the Quakers back then. Anyway, the language is very important here, using the word thou, and that's what Christ used here. He called God thou, not he. His prayer was personal. And number three point I'm making is this. His prayer was grateful, full of gratitude. If you read verse 25, Jesus begins his prayer with praise, I praise you, Father. If you read in King James, it says, I thank thee, Father. Thanks and praise go together, and they are the integral part of prayer. Let's be sure to have them both in your prayers. Now you go home and check your, analyze your own prayer. In my prayer, what words do I say? Is there any elements of prayer, praise and thanks? If you don't find them, be sure to include them, praise and thanks to God in your prayers. Prayers and thanks are given and directed toward God and God alone. You know, the context of today's prayer is this. As soon as Jesus noticed what God was doing, he immediately recognized God's hands in it and gave thanks and praise to God. That's why he started his prayer, I praise you, Father. I believe it is an excellent idea for us to cultivate the habit of thanksgiving and praising to God in our prayer. Come to think of it, there are so many things in our lives, small and great, that we can give thanks to God for and praises to God. Now, some of us think that, Pastor Choi, you don't know anything about my life. There's nothing good, not even one single good thing happening in my life. Sometimes we feel that way. But you know what? I take your word for it, but still there, one thing, let me tell you, one thing that you should be thankful to God and grateful to God. You know what it is? It is eternal life. You can begin with this. Here's the starter. You can give thanks to God for your eternal life. You know, most of us don't realize how blessed we are to have eternal life. So how do we have eternal life? When we believe in Jesus Christ, that what he has done on the cross to die on our behalf, to take away our sins, pay the wages of our sins, and you believe it in your heart, and you follow along God's command, live one day at a time, and then you have eternal life in Christ. We don't realize how blessed we are until we get there. But think of it. Our life here on earth, maybe 70 years and 80 years at most, but you're going to have life that never ends, and Christ says, your name is recorded in the book of life. What have we done? We have done anything except believing in what Christ has done. That's a blessing, folks. So even though you have nothing good going on, you make sure that, Lord, I give thanks to you for the eternal life given to me. My name is recorded in heaven. Now, I'm going to digress a little bit. How about not only giving thanks to God, but how about giving thanks to the people around us as well? That's something we could use more. Now, let me tell you. I got my, just the wife's approval to share this story, so I think I'm safe. You know, I thank my wife. We've been married for, we are going to celebrate 31 years. I will never catch up with John and Dorothy. I mean, 61 to 31. I have no chance. But you know, I thank my wife for being a great companion to me for years. Believe me, there are times that I thought, why did I marry ever this, you know, this woman and so forth? And she felt the same way too. But overall, I'm so thankful that she, her companionship over the years. Nowadays, I especially appreciate her great cooking skills. Did you know that you speak to a man, average man, through their stomach? Ladies know all of this, okay? I appreciate her great cooking. And come to think of it, it's quite a merit because she sustained me healthy for over 30 years. I mean, it's quite a chore and quite a task if you think of it. You're constantly thinking of what meal should we have, dinner tonight or something. And she's getting better in cooking too. And you know, often at our dinner table, I feel like I'm a king, eating like a king. Not that we have, you know, gourmet, five-star hotel gourmet every single night. No, it's not that. But somehow, I really appreciate her, you know, just spending time and coming up with the different dishes and whatnot. I truly appreciate that. Now, another thing I'd like to share with you is that about my mother. She is 92 years old now, and, you know, thanks for your prayers. You know, I sent an email request. She fell and she has compressed vertebrae, and it's not straightening out just immediately, so she's going through rehab now. You know, being 92 years old by now, you think life challenges and trials and all the temptations are over. Not so. And she has her own issues of bad knees and, you know, back problems and all these things. So whenever I called her once a week, she used to complain. I'm using the right word. Complain about her bad knees and, you know, and all the time, every single time. On top of her concerns for her, you know, grown-up children and their families. Anyway, so I thought, this is not good. I mean, she's 92 and, you know, her days to come to the Lord in heaven, much closer than mine. So I thought, I better prepare my mother for heaven. So we changed our strategy, and we begin intentionally give thanks to God for all things, both good and bad. My mom didn't understand at first, but after doing this with me once a week for 4 months, she was finally getting it, and she's getting better on this. And more than anything else, folks, you know what? I'm very grateful that my mom is getting herself ready for heaven. Because there, when you go to heaven, no words of complaint. Okay? You should be very grateful. So I think, you know, she needs to get ready. Anyway, being thankful to God and to people, and if you need coaching on this, folks, I offer my free service, okay, free of charge, okay? Now, one more thing and I'll be through. If you read today's verse 25, it begins with, at that time. It's not clear in English, but if you read in Greek, it is very clear. It is kairos time. There are two kinds of time in Greek language. One is kairos time, divine time. The other one is chronos time. That's where English word chronology comes from. Okay? This one is kairos time. God's appointed time and opportune time. What Jesus did here, as soon as he realized what's going on, the occasion arose, he did not lose the momentum of thanksgiving. I wonder if we practice the same. If you someone did something good for you, don't wait a couple of days. Just why don't you acknowledge right there and thanking them? And that makes the huge difference. Did you know that Christmas is 8 months away? Sorry to remind you. But you know, we have a wonderful tradition in the Choi family. We receive all the gifts, Christmas presents, whatnot. After we open wraps and all these things, we set aside a gift, and before we start enjoying those gifts, we open the box of thank you notes. And we write down thank you note right there. And let's say Aunt Marie gave me something. I said, dear Aunt Marie, thank you so very much for your thoughtful gift. I'm sure I'll enjoy in the days to come. Love, I assign my name. A very simple, two lines. And we all do. I do, and my wife does, and so does my daughter. And we all do, just seal it and stamp it and address it, and just they're ready to go out on the following day. You know what? This simple tradition, I'm speaking to those folks, especially raising their kids, instill the good habit of this thanking them immediately when the occasion arises, and they will never go wrong. What I discovered over the years after doing this, it lubricates our relationship with the givers. They always appreciate. Let me tell you statistics. How many people in America, all over the world actually, out of 10 people actually take time to give thanks? Either phone call or just write a note. 1 out of 10. That surprises you? 9 people simply think, oh, they know I appreciate them. Really? Why don't you express it? Okay? So the whole point is that the reason why postponing is not a good idea is because you may not have another time or opportunity to thank the giver. You think it'll come back to you again? No, not really. Here's a story. There are 10 lepers. All of them had terrible disease called leprosy. And one day they heard Jesus walking by. So you don't want to lose the opportunity. Raise hands. Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus knew what the problem was. Because lepers couldn't approach. They had to maintain certain distance between them and the normal people. Okay, so they're shouting from the distance. Jesus knew what the problem was. So Jesus says, why don't you go to the priest and show yourself? And they're on their way, and 10 of them all got healed. And only one of them realized, oh, I'm healed. They were so happy, the rest of them too. One turned around and went back to Jesus and knelt down before Jesus and, "Lord, I'm so thankful that you healed me, made me whole." This is what Jesus says. "Were they not all healed? Where are they nine? And this one, only one, happens to be Samaritan, not Israelite, came back to me thank." You see, the problem is this. The other nine, I don't think they were ungrateful. They were very grateful. But they never had another chance to meet the Lord and thank him properly. That's what I'm saying. Thanking God is very important. And anyway, the point I made is that Jesus' prayer was relational and personal and grateful. So when we pray, folks, let's pray to God with intimacy and reverence. Father first and Lord. When we pray, let's pray to God with a personal knowledge of him. When we pray, let's pray to God with a grateful heart. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's so exciting to know you, Lord, as our loving parent. Of course, our earthly parents, with their weaknesses and all the problems they bring to our lives, we could easily blame that. That's why we do not have a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. Some of us even refuse to call God in heaven Father because of our abusive relationship we had with our Father. But Lord, that can't be the excuse not to enjoy, not to get to know you in person, a deeper level. Help every one of us, Lord, to know you better, personally like Jesus had, so that our prayer life would be just revolutionary and different experience from today and on. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.